Hi, everyone, and welcome to Warning Track Power Hour, the Major League Baseball podcast that's part of the Total Sports 24/7 Network. This is Chris Hayes, the host and producer for this podcast and all podcasts across the Total Sports 24/7 Network. Visit our website at totalsports247.podbean.com to find all episodes of all podcasts across the network. You can also subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Search Total Sports 247 to find us. Remember to hit that subscribe button, leave us a five-star review, and share the podcast so that we can continue to promote what it is that we're doing here at the network. You can also follow me on X at @totalsports_247. Joining us on today's show is Fred Dinger 23 on X. We are going to talk about some waiver wire pickups for this second week in MLB. We've got some players at each position that we think are worthy of discussion. We don't know that we'll have that every single week, but it's still early in the season. We think there's still enough volume at the various positions to help you out for the upcoming season. Fred Dinger 23, how are we feeling after our first week in fantasy baseball?
Feeling okay. We want to stay patient, but
yeah,
it's a little frustrating when you start out of the gates after so much excitement if some of your teams start out slow. So we have to stress patience, and you want to stay on your pickups, but again, you don't want to react too quickly to slow starts. But anyone that's injured, obviously, any spots that you might have that should be revolving or streamer spots anyway is what we're trying to help with here. Not that you're going to start dropping some of your, I don't know, first 10 rounds, any guys right. like that in your draft. You should not do that. You should give it at least 2 to 3 weeks before you decide what's happening with certain players, or if they move around and get pushed down in the lineup, then it might be time to react.
I think we have to pay attention to the reverse of that too, right? It's like you don't want to overreact either way, right? You don't want to overreact to players who are slumping that you were high on coming into the season, but the reverse is also true. You don't necessarily want to chase waiver wire darlings because they've had 3 or 4 good games at the plate or 1 good start. And there's players, I think, on this list today that we'll discuss that could fall into that category. And we'll discuss whether or not we think their performances are something that can be sustained or maybe a little bit of a flash in the pan to start the season. So we will go ahead and go position by position. Fred Dinger 23 here, and I have players at each position that we will discuss the merits of those players and their respective situations. And we can talk about whether or not we think that's something you can add to your teams. Most of the players that we'll be talking about are around 60% owned or less on CBS Sports. There may be one or two that I snuck in there that are a little bit higher than that. So in your shallower league, your 10-team leagues, they're likely still available on the waiver wire. And then at the conclusion of the episode, we'll talk one about our Fantrax teams. That'll be a pretty brief segment as to how we're doing with Fantrax and our year-long competition. We'll close with some best bets for tonight. A lot of games are in the day today in MLB. A little bit surprising for Friday, but there are games tonight as well. So let's get started with the catcher position. I have Henry Davis at catcher, and he's the first one that I've snuck in. He's 61% owned, and he's the one that I think is worthy of further ownership in MLB. He's going to get regular playing time either at catcher or the outfield, so he has that flexibility if you need it. But what he offers you at the catcher position more than anything is the ability to run a little bit, which is, of course, short at the catcher position. He hasn't really produced too much this year so far. Off to a slow start, 167 batting average through 6 games, but it seems like he is getting regular playing time. And I think, again, if you need help at the catcher position, it's tough to find options off the wire throughout the season. So Davis, with his flexibility, might be somebody you want to look at now. Who do you have in your catcher spot? Fred Dinger, 2-3. I know that you have a different catcher you're looking at because of circumstances that this catcher's in.
Right. So in Atlanta, Sean Murphy went down with an injury. Travis d'Arnaud is owned in across 41% of leagues. I'm sure that has gone up at least 10% this week because of the injury, but
Yeah.
I like adding a catcher like d'Arnaud in a good lineup that can offer you a little bit of pop and you know maybe some RBI opportunities again in a stacked lineup. So I picked him out. I know that catcher was not as shallow this year, but
Yeah,
once you
it was
start,
okay at the top. It was okay in those first like, 8-10 catcher spots.
right. But once you start getting those injuries, right? Like Murphy was
Yeah.
probably borderline top 10. Once you start
Sure.
getting injuries, it's not that deep, right? It doesn't run 20 deep. So he's one that I was eyeing. I do like Henry Davis as well because of the fact that he qualifies in outfield, and I don't know the situation, but I know they have Grandal and they have some other guys who can catch. So if he can move back to the outfield after getting you eligibility,
Yeah.
that's even better.
That is even better, right? And it says, it's weird with Grandal because you have to think that he's going to get some time off like regularly throughout the season. He's getting up there in age, and I don't know how much they're going to play Grandal if he's not a catcher, like if they DH him or if they even put him at first base or something. I don't know, but I have to think Davis is in line for like fairly consistent regular playing time, either at catcher or the outfield all season long. Let's move to first base. The guy I have my eye on is somebody who's typically an everyday player, but has started the season on the IL. He's a little bit, I don't know, unexciting, but should be productive nonetheless. And that's Nate Lowe. He was put on the 10-day injured list back at the end of March with an oblique strain, but he could be back in a few weeks, maybe 3 or so weeks' time. So if you have room to stash someone like a Nate Lowe, he, I would anticipate, gets pretty regular playing time in the Texas lineup when he returns. He's played at least 157 games 3 years in a row. So this injury is unusual. He's not super productive, but you have to think with this lineup that the opportunities are just going to be there naturally with Lowe. He hasn't had Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford regularly in this lineup the past 3 years. This lineup's just getting better somehow. And I think Lowe could be the beneficiary of that when he comes back. I don't know that Duran or Jared Walsh will take any playing time from Lowe if he is fully healthy when he comes back. So he's somebody I have my eye on. Maybe not for a pickup this week. He is 54% owned, and it's more likely that towards the end of his DL stint or his IL stint that he will garner more attention on the waiver wire. But he's somebody I have my eye on because at the very least, he's got a very high floor if the ceiling isn't all that high with Nate Lowe. Like, you're gonna get.
I
Who's your first
agree.
baseman? Yeah.
So I have Connor Joe. He also qualifies at outfield. It's a little bit of that sort of a safe play here. I think that he's hitting fifth in the Pittsburgh lineup. They're a fine lineup. They're productive. They could be sneaky good, and he can give you some stats across the board. I just He's only he's very it's probably a deeper league pickup as
Yeah.
well. He's only 18% owned. So he went, you know, he's probably up, and he might only have been single digits, if not less than 5% owned to begin the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Pittsburgh's already been sneaky good, right? I don't know
Right.
that people thought that Joe was going to get regular playing time to start the season, but he's earned it so far. And if he continues to hit the way he's been hitting, it's going to be hard to get him out of that Pittsburgh lineup. And again, the first base eligibility, that's again that flexibility that you want, especially in your daily leagues, right? Where you set lineups on a daily basis. Flexibility is everything there, volume kind of play. And Joe having that multi-positional eligibility makes him that much more valuable. So at second base, I picked up, I don't know, another kind of uninspiring player, but is going to get playing time nonetheless. That's Justin Foscue from Texas. He was called up. Right now, he's second base eligible, but he could be another versatile player. He's anticipated to get some playing time in the absence of Josh Jung, who was hit on the wrist in a game against Tampa, I believe, and is they had initially said 6 weeks as a time frame, but I think that might even be longer, somewhere in the range of 8 to 10 weeks now for Jung. So Foscue, if he produces, will be up for the long haul. He had some decent stats at the AAA affiliate there for Texas. Decent pop, decent average, and decent steals. And so if he can produce off the board in, say, an AL only or a deeper league, he's worthy of a look, I think. And again, being in that Texas lineup, you have to think that production is going to just come. Like the opportunities are going to be there for him to produce.
Right. Yeah. If he gets the opportunities, he will produce. I mean, it's Semien and Seager are pretty much locked down up the middle. So it's going to be that third base spot that he's going to have to be at with Duran. And the first base situation with Nate Lowe coming back should solidify. But yeah, good lineup. They brought him up for a reason. So could be a good 8 to 10 weeks of playing time there.
Yeah, and he's someone you might want to look at now before, like if he has a hot week in his first week, he'll become unavailable very quickly. So he's somebody you might want to look at now. Did you have somebody at second base?
So I have just a middle infield, I'll call it, right? Second and shortstop, Jose Caballero from
Yes,
Tampa
right.
Bay, as a pickup. He's right now, he's only 24% rostered in CBS, and he's played all but two games so far. He has three steals. And Brandon Lau is hurt, and he's usually their everyday second baseman. He makes it against lefties, you know, the Tampa, sort of
The
that
Tampa
Tampa
way.
matchup, the Tampa way. So I think he, you know, if you need speed, he's someone to look at in the middle infield. And this is probably, again, a little bit deeper league. Some leagues that have the MI or the middle infield spot to fill, he'd be great. Second and short qualification, and that's sort of my pickup. I think the other pickup I identified is someone that you would like to talk about, so I will leave
Oh
that to
yeah.
you.
Well, that's Bryce Turang, and he is running wild so far this year, and he's hitting for average so far. That Brewer lineup, I think, is actually pretty good as well. And clearly, Turang has the green light to run. And if he even produces, say, like a 240 or 250 batting average, he could get you 50 steals this year, if not more. It seems like he is playing. He is very good on the defensive side. So I don't think that he is going to lose playing time. And again, if he gets on base, they have shown a willingness to let him loose, and he has paid them back with that trust in him to run the bases in spades, leading the league in steals. Bryce Turang, still, I think, under-owned, even though we had talked about him last week. He's only moved up to 47% rostered, hitting 313 on the year. Oh, sorry, no, hitting 438. Sorry, hitting 438 on the year. Six steals in five games. So he's on pace for like 200 steals. He's on a, you know, record pace for Major League Baseball. So Bryce Turang, if he's still out there, he's also a good middle infielder option, like an MI spot.
Definitely. He's second and short qualification. So,
I have a third baseman as well. That's Eugenio Suarez. He's another guy who third base is it seems fairly top heavy this year as well. Kind of like catcher, where there's good options in that first 10 to 12 part range. And then after that, it's kind of challenging to figure out where to go. Suarez is another option, like low, where the floor is high and the ceiling is low. You know, you're probably going to take a hit in average with Suarez, even though he's gotten off to a strong start this year in that category. But he will get you home runs, RBIs and potentially runs scored. So if he is a three category player consistently, and he's going to play every day in that Arizona lineup, he could get you 30 and 100 when you look up at the end of the year. He's right around 60% owned on CBS as well. So again, with third base being a little bit of a shallower position, it on the lower end of third baseman, I think he's a great option.
Yeah, in similar vein, I have JD Davis. So he's hitting at the top of the Oakland lineup. Today, I think he was hitting second. Yesterday, he was hitting fourth. So plenty of at bats to go around in that lineup. I know it's not a good team, but that doesn't mean that certain players are not going to produce stats, right? So far, so good. Two homers, 364 average. Again, third base eligibility and should see every day at bats. Only 26% owned right now. I do want to give, another sh a shout out to last week's conversation. A guy that's rock on a rocket up the pickup board is Mikel Garcia. He's starting to show some power. He's hitting first in the KC lineup. Another lineup that might be a little underrated coming into the year,
Agreed.
but could start to gain some traction. And so he's way up there now. He's at 74%. But we did
That's
mention
still
him.
probably underowned.
Right. We did mention him last week. And I think he's third base, but some leagues he may qualify at short as well.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, he's third base only in CBS, but check your respective platform, be it Yahoo, ESPN, Fantrax, which we'll get to, or other leagues. Eligibility rules differ based on the league. So yeah, Garcia could be eligible at shortstop, and he only has one steal in the year, but he can definitely run, and like that will increase. I imagine that will increase as the season goes on. Okay, let's move to the outfield slash sort of utility space. Who did you have in the outfield that you wanted to discuss?
So I have three players. All of them are off to pretty good starts. And a couple of them, I think, might have just been overlooked on draft day, or maybe, some of the leagues aren't as deep as some, say a league like Fantrax, where you carry 30 players, right? But some of these leagues, like so Jose Siri from Tampa Bay, I think that he could give you both power and speed from that outfield spot. Again, it's Tampa, so it's tricky, but he seems to be getting, he's getting a lot of playing time to open the season. He's played every game, three or four at bats in every single game. So far, off to a pretty good start for him. I think
Definitely
we
someone who
mentioned,
would be rosterable in five outfielder leagues for sure, right?
yeah, because he's got 20-20 potential. Someone, the average might not be there, but he's gonna steal 20 bases, that's for sure. And last year, did he hit 20 home runs as well?
He might have, and he didn't even have that many at bats.
Yeah,
I'm
so
keeping a
opposite,
fine
but he had
list.
20, right? He had 25 home runs last year
Yeah.
with
I mean,
12,
if
only 12 steals, but we know the speed is there.
Yeah, for sure it is. I mean, if you ask people, or if you told people that Siri had 25 home runs last year, I think people would be pretty surprised by that.
So I had him, and then Haniger. I think you brought him up last week.
I did.
So he continues to be underowned. He's only at 39%, and it's someone who had a breakout with Seattle, is back with Seattle, has had injuries in between with his other teams before going back there. So someone to keep an eye on. And then a player from the Angels, Taylor Ward, right? Someone last week year who he's kind of been rumored to break out, and he's starting off the season pretty hot. He's got three homers, eight RBIs, hitting 320. He's hitting fourth behind Mike Trout. That's not a bad place to be. So, not that he's got the Trout protection, but if Trout's getting on base and doing his thing, he's always going to have guys to knock in. So, someone to keep an eye on. Especially if you play in a more of a dynasty format or a keeper league, Taylor Ward is still young, and well, he's not that young, he's 30 years old. So, but this could be the year, and then he could have a it could be a late bloomer.
Could be a late bloomer. And, you know, I mean, three homers in six games, right? And a 320 average. I wonder if, you know, teams maybe overlook Ward in that cleanup spot. So he might get some better looks. Like they might be very careful pitching with Trout because Ward hits behind him. Like people might think that Ward isn't offering the protection for Trout. So I wonder. I wonder how long he stays in that cleanup spot if he continues to produce and like how like he's an interesting player to watch, I think, in these next couple of weeks for sure. Like just how teams view him and how he's pitched against or how he's pitched to, I think is that's a cool story there in Anaheim where they don't have a ton to talk about, right?
Especially if Trout was ever traded, they'd have nothing.
Yes. No, they would have nothing. No, that is for sure. Now, someone that is eligible in outfield right now, and he's also eligible at third base that I wanted to talk to you about. I'm wondering if this is one of these guys who people are jumping on because of his hot start. And I don't know if this is sustainable, and that's Oswaldo Cabrera. He had no hype coming into the season. He's third base eligible and outfield for the Yankees. So far, he's gotten off to a 346 batting average start, two homers, seven RBIs on the season. So he's somebody I don't even know if he was. I mean, he wasn't, I bet he wasn't even drafted in AL only leagues, right? And he was just somebody that was not really looked at too much, but he has skyrocketed to 59% rostered. He's right now ranked in the top 100 over at CBS. Is he somebody that you, if he's still available in your league, is he somebody where you're like, I'm going to get him now and hope that he continues to ride? Or are you like, this is just a hot start and I'm still not interested?
So for me individually, I think it's just a hot start and I'm not interested, but I could see if you played in a league, in a daily league with his flexibility,
Yeah.
because I do think that I've seen in Yahoo, he may also qualify at second.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that could become like, is he, that's one thing I don't know is if with DJ LeMahieu out, but that's
Yeah.
Torres's spot, right? Where
Yes.
he's playing every day. So that would be intriguing to me. But outside of that, like I'm looking at their lineup right now for today. He did not even play today. So I think it could just be a hot start, but it could be one that if he continues this and guys start to come back, they may not be able to sit him.
Yeah, it's interesting. So when he's not in the lineup, this is what RotoWire has to say about this. It says, you know, Cabrera's not in the lineup. They went with John Bertie at third base, the light hitting speedster journeyman. And Cabrera's a switch hitter. And they're saying that he's not playing because Toronto is going with Yusei Kikuchi, the lefty. So it's interesting that a switch hitter is in a platoon situation, especially given his hot start. I'm somebody who is cool on Cabrera myself. I am not particularly interested in him, and I would leave him on the waiver wire myself. Okay, let's go to our pitchers. Somebody we have to talk about, of course, in the same vein, somebody who is off to a hot start, but it is one start. However, it was a no hitter, and that is Ronel Blanco. So let's hear your thoughts, Fred Dinger 2-3, on the new ace of the staff there in Houston.
He's the ace of the staff.
I mean, he is now. He's the best pitcher stat-wise. Nine
Okay.
innings, no hits, 0.22 whip. Come on, you can't get better than that.
I'm staying away.
Why are you staying away?
I'm not going any. So, and actually, tell me when he starts next time because anyone who throws a no-hitter gets shelled usually the next start. So I'm going to bet against him on his next start. Staying away, I don't know, 30-year-old pitcher. I think he was a filler for them at this point of time. I think Verlander will be back. They're deep there. I don't think he's got much long-term value.
It's interesting with Blanco, right? Because yes, he is clearly, at least it seems on the outside looking in, is in the rotation because of injuries to the likes of Verlander, Urquidy, McCullers, etc. But you look at the rest of that rotation, like you've got Valdez, right? You've got Javier, their mainstays. Hunter Brown, up and down? I don't know. Like, I don't know how confident people... I mean, I'm not super confident in Brown this year. I know that others disagree. Like, do you think there's still room for Blanco somehow to carve out a niche in this rotation when some of their healthier starters are back? Has he leapfrogged anyone in that rotation?
I personally don't think so. I think Hunter Brown is going to be just fine. But I will see. The next couple of starts will go a long way. I would not blow out of fab money on Blanco, and I would not use a number one waiver priority on him if you have a deeper bench and you do have a streaming spot or two. Then sure, take a shot, but I would not bank on him to fix your pitching staff.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I would not go for him either. I just wonder what Houston's going to do. I mean, if he's, let's say he has another great start and continues to pitch well, maybe they do like a six-man rotation for a little bit of time to ease Verlander back into some regular duty. I don't know. I don't think the door is closed on what Blanco can bring to Houston this year just because he threw – you know, a no hitter, but we'll see. We'll see. But again, I'm with you. I'm not running to the waiver wire to pick him up, and I'll gladly let someone else have him and take all the glory if he continues to throw no hitters all season long.
That's nice of you.
Yeah. Thanks. Who else do you have in the pitching waiver wire that you wanted to discuss?
I don't have any real names here at this point, but I do always keep an eye on two-star pitchers.
Yeah, and okay.
Who you want to stream going into the next week. It's a strategy to use as one of your bench spots or one of your pitching spots that you always keep it fresh and look at matchups for guys that are going twice. And again, you're not going to get many of the studs. Most of the started percentage pitchers are not available, but you could find a diamond in the rough each week to give you a couple of quality starts with some K's and wins and keep your ratios down. And that's just one thing to keep an eye on. Like, you know, I this guy's out there this week, Spencer Turnbull, he had a good first start. Someone to keep an eye on there. Andrew Haney's out there. Now he's going against Houston twice. That's not something that I would not go down that path. I've seen Javier Assad is someone now, again, not owned extremely high and he's at San Diego, at Seattle, maybe worth a look.
Those are decent matchups.
Yep. So that's just, again, a strategy, not more of you have to go get these guys, and it might not be a strategy you have to use. If you have a solid four or five starters, you probably most likely are starting them every week. Unless they're in, say, Colorado or maybe out of Texas or at Atlanta, somewhere where it could be tough sledding, then you might go to the bench or look for a two-starter. But if you already have four or five solid starters and you fill the rest with your relievers, then you're fine. You don't have to sort of look to that every week, but it's something to keep an eye on.
I think I'm going to stay away from Andrew Haney because he burns me basically every single year in fantasy. I fall in love with his strikeout ratios, but I really should think about his ERA and his WHIP as well. And I oftentimes overlook that. If he could just keep the ball in the strike zone more often, he could be a dynamite pitcher, but he doesn't. So that's my thoughts on Andrew Haney. I just wish, typical Andrew Haney start last week, 4 2/3 innings, 7 strikeouts. He only gave up 1 run, I think, but like he couldn't even make it through 5 innings because he throws so many pitches. It's like Mackenzie Gore is like the young version of Andrew Haney. They're like the same thing. It's like Why are you throwing so many pitches to get so few outs? They're just so inefficient and very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Someone I have my eye on, 63% owned Brady Singer. He had a fantastic first start, 7 innings, 10 strikeouts in his first outing of the season. His ownership went way up after that start. He's not exactly a strikeout pitcher, so that is a welcome surprise from Singer. He's got, I think, a new pitch, which is what you always want to look for in spring training. I think he's using a sweeper maybe for the first time to good effect so far. He has had pretty decent control over his career. He just tend to get hit a lot. And if he can reduce sort of the batted ball, like the what's the word I'm looking for? Like, players tend to hit the ball hard off him. And if he can reduce that hard contact a little bit, he's somebody I had my eye on. You know, 2022 in 27 games, 24 games started, 3.23 ERA, 1.14 WHIP. Like, he's only 2 years removed from that. So he could be in for a bounce back year. And again, we've talked about Kansas City a few times with that lineup, and maybe he gets some run support. I don't know. He's, to me, he's very intriguing, and I'm looking to add him universally. One final thought I have before we move into our fan tracks and our picks and I close out this episode is Edwin Cabrera. I think he has still, like, through the roof potential in that Marlins staff. And with Yuri Perez going down for the year, it's someone's going to have to step up in that rotation. And I think Cabrera could be that guy. He is on the injured list right now, but he could be back soon, within a few weeks. If you have flexibility on your roster, he's someone I would be very interested in picking up. Just excellent stuff if he can command it. And he's somebody I'm looking at.
So before we move on, a couple of mentions in the bullpen.
Oh, yes. Yes. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Bullpen.
So we went through a few last week. Not much has changed. It does look like a few guys have stepped up and are closer to being called the closer, right? Abner Uribe in Milwaukee seems to have that job. And Michael Kopech for the White Sox. Now, you may not get a lot of wins for them or save opportunities, but he may help your strikeouts and your ratios if he gets comfortable in that role.
If he gets comfortable, that's a really good point, right? If he's comfortable, his stuff is still pretty electric. And, like, he's got the composition that you're looking for at the back end of a bullpen. He always has. It's just, just been derailed by injuries year over year over year and unfulfilled potential, but still hold out hope. And Uribe's look pretty good in the back end of that bullpen, 67% rostered. So in your shallower leagues, Uribe still might be available for Milwaukee, as people might still have some residual holding on to other players in that Milwaukee bullpen who aren't in line for saves. Like, it feels very clear that it's Uribe's job in Milwaukee now.
Definitely.
Okay. Let's go to, should we go to Fantrax? You want to do that?
Yeah, we can go for like 2 minutes.
So Fantrax has been challenging for us so far. So in our head-to-head battle, the updated standings live, Craig is in 8th place in this league and I'm in 11th. And as a reminder, this is a 12-team league. So I have a lot of work to do. I will say one of the challenges that I'm running up against in this league is I've got a lot of guys who are hurt, and I didn't do a great job in the first run of waivers to get them replaced. So I'm going to have to spend more of my fab budget this upcoming waiver wire period to dump some of this dead weight and get some guys who are playing. So if we look at the standings for the entire league, I have the second fewest games played among all 12 teams. And I'm second from the bottom, which I think you can draw a direct correlation between those two. And as a reminder, this is a we have a fab budget of $1,000 in this league, but pickups only run once per week, but lineups are daily. So you really have to take advantage in this league of waiver wire opportunities. I failed to do so in this first run, and my goal is to make up for it in the second run. Another problem that I have with this league is that there's only one utility spot, and I have Marcell Ozuna and Will Smith and Adley Rutschman. They're like my three best offensive players, and I can't play all three of them because Ozuna is not outfield eligible. So struggling with that as well in terms of overall team composition. So more to come on my team next week. Hopefully we'll have some updates for you on some new players added to the roster, getting rid of some of these injured players that I have. Like I have Yuri Perez in this league. There's no need to have him anymore. And maybe we'll have some, we'll find some of these players that we're talking about today. I think I'm gonna have to hit the waiver wire and pick up a decent amount of them if they're available in this 12-team league.
Yeah, if they're available, right? We have deeper rosters for sure in Fantrax. So my team, I'm not happy with it, but I at the top I said patient, so I will be patient. Corbin Carroll, I drafted him first overall, and I'm not excited about that anymore for sure. Not first overall, but my first round pick at
Your
number
first round
five.
pick.
I believe at number five, it was Corbin Carroll. So a little concerned about his start just because I've seen some things about him not lifting the ball and he already had a day off, and that is concerning. But another thing I did was I have Caminero and Jackson Holliday. So in a league like this, a redraft league this deep with no IL, I may stay away in the future in a league like that from minor leaguers because you need in a daily league, you need to have that versatility in guys that are playing. So again, slow start. I do have pitching depth. I have a lot of in a daily league, I like to carry primarily pitchers on my bench to get them in and out and play that matchup game and usually have three or four relievers if you can in your lineup at any given day. So we'll see, more to come, but it's a slow start, definitely. Offensively, probably only have three or four homers and more to come. Next week, in the weeks to follow, we will not finish eighth. I'll tell you that.
No. I think a good point too about this Fantrax league that we're in does have corner infielder and middle infielder spots. So that's even more important to have guys who are playing rather than stashing minor leaguers. There's no minor league spot. Unless they're going to get called up, it's tough to justify having at least, a few minor leaguers in a league like this when volume counts for so much.
Yeah, I think originally, right, if when we drafted, most people I think thought Jackson Holliday was making the team, right? Including myself. So Caminero to carry him, sure. Thought he'd be up. Now he's hurt a little bit. He's banged up. I thought he'd be up in May. And now I'm hoping that Holliday is. But I also keeping in mind that if I drop one of them, that they'd probably be picked up right away
They
in a
would be.
league like this, because it is deep. But I guess you just can't play it both ways. You can't carry all pitching on your bench and minor leaguers because at some point you'll lose out.
Yeah, I mean, Holiday is looking at the league. Holiday is 98% rostered. Caminero is 90% rostered. So if you're dropping them, I mean, they're gonna get picked up.
Yeah, we may have mentioned this. Fantrax is got a lot of best ball leagues as well. So that strategy would tend to work, right? Because best ball is going to be on any given day or week your best players. So if those guys do come up middle of the year and you think that they're going to be top players, then they will overtake someone already on your team producing points. So
Yeah, that's a really good point.
it's a better strategy there, but that's why you see that high percentage owned in Fantrax because of best
Oh,
ball.
because of the
Yeah, best
yes,
ball
the yeah,
and or
much.
dynasty. It could be dynasty leagues
Sure,
too, right?
sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good point about best ball there. It's easier to wait on best ball because they're just a roster spot rather than They're just like part of your 30. It's not, the value's different. The value's much different. Should we close with some picks?
Let's do it.
What do you got tonight?
So I am in Atlanta for the home opener. Mentally, I'm there. So we have Spencer Strider on the hill. They're going against Tommy Henry. And I am on the Atlanta team total over 5.5.
Ah, okay.
That's at -115 on DK.
That's pretty good.
So I like Atlanta to put up some runs here. Now, sometimes teams get a little complacent with their ace on the hill, but I do enjoy the home opener, ace on the hill, Tommy Henry matchup for Atlanta.
That's good. Okay, that's your first play. You have one more?
The second play I have is Seattle at Milwaukee. I like the under 7.5. And that's -105 on DK. It's Gilbert versus Peralta. I love that. It's a couple of aces, weaker lineups, and 7.5 feels like a lot to me. So that's why I'm on that.
So that's a good segue. I was almost going to take the under in this game as well. I decided to go with Milwaukee on the run line instead, at +170. I could see this being a 2-0, 3-1, 4-2 type of game. And the couple advantages here, one, Milwaukee being at home, and two, I think their lineup's just better than Seattle's. And I think they can produce a couple runs against Gilbert. And I think Peralta could shut down this Seattle lineup. I am going to, money line is -125 for Milwaukee. You could play that if you wanted a little bit of cushion, but I think the +170 and -1.5 is a pretty good play. So that's the first play I'm going with. The second, I am going to Kansas City and my guy Brady Singer. I'm going to go with them on the run line as well at +110 against the White Sox. I look for Singer to have another good start. I think this is a great way to start the season for Singer. And again, with a lineup comparison, I think the Royals lineup is significantly stronger than the White Sox. And so, and being at home, I like that play as well. So my two plays are Kansas City on the run line at +110 and Milwaukee on the run line at +170. And you had the under 7.5 in Seattle, Milwaukee at -105. And that Braves team total again?
It was up to 5.5, but it was -115.
5.5 at -115. Anything else before we get out of here, Fred Dinger, 2-3?
Who is your pick for WrestleMania? Is it Roman or Cody?
Oh, I guess it's got to be Roman, right?
I mean, he's champ for 4 years running now, over 1,000 days. So that's a solid pick by you, but could be Cody's time. We'll see.
How long is WrestleMania going on this weekend? Is it through Sunday night?
We have two nights, Saturday and Sunday, but tonight, SmackDown and the Hall of Fame, it's full. So you'll probably be DVRing it, but you could catch a lot of it live, Hayes.
Yeah. I'll see what else I have going on this weekend, and maybe I'll try and fit it in, and maybe we'll just leave it at that.
If not, I'll just fill you in. I'll give you a summary.
Maybe we could start next week, maybe. Filling in our audience, who I'm sure is very interested in WrestleMania, and we can discuss that maybe at the top.
No, but as always, this was fun. We have plenty of baseball, Final Four, WrestleMania. Maybe in the Northeast, we're going to get some spring days soon.
We're going to get some spring. We're going to have an eclipse on Monday. We had an earthquake today. Did you feel the earthquake today? I did.
I did not, but I will have a total eclipse of the heart.
So that'll do it for this episode of Warning Track Power Hour. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back next week with another episode. Until then, please remember to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you listen to your favorite podcasts, and we will see you next time.